644, 16 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWO, back to a patient, Walter Dublane, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at my alma mater, UNO, talking about health insurance, how the price of it goes up, and prescription drug prices. Somebody texted in, Dub, and said, Tommy, how would you like the government to tell you what your salary would be and take away your negotiation with WWL? Well, I just signed a two-year contract, and the negotiation was, tell you what, if you sign it right here, you can come to work tomorrow. And if you don't, there's a cardboard box over there. You can carry your stuff out. So I decided to sign it. And I'm kidding around about that. But when it comes to earlier, you said that Canada negotiates with drug companies. And apparently this person is a free market person, and like you are, a laissez-faire economist. And I am too, really. But it's different when it comes to healthcare, because you're not talking about buying a car or a new microwave or anything like that, right?
Well, I mean, the question is what makes the free market work is competition. And the question is there competition between drug manufacturers to keep the cost down? And the answer is, if they have a patent, there's only, they have a monopoly. And in the United States, like the electric company and other things that have monopolies, we regulate those prices. And as, which is a reasonable thing to do, and most economists believe there is that if the market is working, you should leave it alone. But sometimes the market doesn't work and requires some type of intervention.
You know, that's, now, that boy, talk about the light bulb going off on my head. So if you have a patent medication, in essence, you have a monopoly, and yet we regulate monopolies every day in a country. We guarantee them a rate of return, correct?
Correct.
But not in this industry, which, if anything, well, I guess you don't really have a choice about electricity either. You kind of need that, I guess, in a way it would be the same with these, with this medicine.
Well, and again, there's a reason for this, because what you want, the reason you give a monopoly, a patent, to a drug manufacturer that creates a new product is because it's, the research and development is very, very expensive. And if you have one company that spends $6 billion trying to develop a new drug, and then as soon as they do it, anybody else can copy them that didn't spend that money, then you're not going to get the research done. So there's a reason for the giving them a monopoly. But historically, I've been very much in favor of that. But there's been some things in the pharmaceutical industry that have kind of gotten out of hand more recently. And the big question is, can we afford it? Right now, the United States spends 18% of its gross domestic product, which is of everything that we produce in the United States, 18% of it goes to healthcare. No other country in the world spends more than 12%. So we're spending a lot more on healthcare than anybody else, and it's very hard to argue that we have better healthcare. Is what we're doing working for us?
Is it?
Well, again, how much do you want to pay? Because if we're spending, and that number is going up, as we say, the point of this conversation was that healthcare costs are going up. The article that we started off with was saying that the employers are having problems because the insurance companies are raising their premiums, and the employers have to either eat that or pass it along to their employees. And so how much can we afford to spend on healthcare? Because we're spending more than everybody else, but it's not obvious that we're getting better healthcare.
So along those lines, when it comes to the long term here, it would seem like, I want to talk about that, I guess, the big macroeconomic level here, Dub, again. And that is yesterday, as we talked to this gentleman about that was in the business of finding healthcare companies for big companies, it would seem as though corporations decide to make that part of the employee's compensation, right? Maybe 25%, $25,000 a year, I think is the number he gave me, if I remember correctly, something like that. If that's what the companies are paying. So as a result of that, when you look at the big economic model, those companies are not eating that. That's being passed along one way or the other to the consumer of whatever product they make. Is that accurate?
I'd say that again. I didn't quite understand.
So in other words, if a company XYZ decides to pay their employees and attract the best and the brightest, and part of the compensation package includes, say, $25,000 a year in health care benefits, even though the employee has to pay a part of it. Well, the fact that that health care insurance part keeps going up, not just for the employee, but for the employer, you could make a case that that's an added expense to the company, and eventually, in the big economic model, much like taxing a company, that cost is, or tariff, whatever you want to call it, that cost is going to be translated to the consumer, so we all end up paying for it. Am I making stuff up in my head or not?
No, that's absolutely correct. That health care costs are a big portion. In fact, for the HR department, health insurance is far and away their biggest headache, mm-hmm. in terms of, other than actually hiring the employees, is because that most employers, you know, most of us have to, when we have a policy through our company, we pay some premium for that, but often we will pay only 25% or 30% of the total premium, and the employer pays the rest of it. But they would be just as happy to give us that in salary. It's a cost to them. So when they hire an employee, they say, well, we're going to pay them, you know, $100,000 a year plus another $40,000 to help pay for Social Security taxes and all the other things that they have to pay, and their health benefits. So the cost of the company is $140,000, even though the employee only gets $100,000. But the total cost is what gets passed along to the consumer as part of the cost of doing business.
Right, and we talked about COBRA, and you find out what it really costs if you get laid off, and they give you the option to maintain the coverage under COBRA. Let me sneak in a quick break. I want to talk about Louisiana and the marketplace enrollees, subsidies that are going away, what that could mean as far as them having insurance, what it's going to cost them, and how, again, ultimately, we all wind up paying for it. 651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. All right, 6:57, 3 till 7. Scrooge and Dickens says it's better to let the surplus population die or decrease the surplus population. And that brings us to healthcare and how, you know, you can look at it as an economic thing, you can look at it as a moral thing. But, Dub, when it comes to Louisiana, with the people that are on Affordable Care Act insurance, they're about to get hit with a double whammy because the rates are going to go up and subsidies are going to expire, right? So what happens then?
Well, again, a lot of them will become uninsured. It's what we're expecting to happen is that because the people on the Obamacare, the individual market that are going to have their rates go up because their subsidies are going down is what really amounts to that some of them will simply say, I can't afford insurance anymore, and they'll become uninsured. Again, we also have the problem with the Medicaid changes that occurred in a year or two when all those kick in, the work requirements, other things. There's a lot of them that will lose their Medicaid benefits as well.
So, I'm sorry.
And the combination of those two things, the number of uninsured in Louisiana has reduced dramatically from what it was before John Bel Edwards came into office. And now we're expecting that a lot of that may be going back up again.
So again, if you're going to go all Scrooge and say, you know, he had better do it and die and decrease the surplus population. Okay, but however, that's not the way the law works as it relates to hospitals, and eventually people that don't have insurance get sick. They wind up at hospitals, and who winds up, if you are going to go all Scrooge, who winds up paying for this?
Well, again, those get passed on to the people that have insurance. So because when hospital costs go up, there's one of two things are going to happen. And we see this is that hospitals operate as much as they charge. It's amazing. They operate on fairly narrow margins. And if all of a sudden you have a large percentage of your patients are now uninsured and you've got to treat them anyway, then either the hospital goes bankrupt or they have to pass that cost on to the people who have insurance. And that's historically the insurance companies have been willing to pay that because they can't provide insurance if they don't have hospitals to send their patients to.
Dub, 10 seconds, yes or no. Is this current system sustainable?
I don't think so.
I didn't think so either. Thank you, sir. Dub Lane, our guest. Thank you for the hour. We'll talk LSU football when we come back.